Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5, with Jason Bramley on Catholic Conversations. We have three fantastic guests with us today. Miss Wilson is here from Corpus Christi, and Pat O'Brien and Judy Clark. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Catholic education and the benefits and why it's so valuable for our children. So who wants to start? What are your thoughts?
Well, when people ask me why they should send their child to Catholic school, I try to look at it through the lens of a parent. So as a parent, you want what's best for your child, whether that's the best academic program, whether it's a strong sports program. You look for a safe and a secure environment. And as blessed as we are to have great schools around town, sometimes you don't get all of those where you would go to school. So at Corpus Christi, instead of having to choose one or the other, you get to choose it all. You get to have everything. So we have an extremely strong academic program, a very good and talented sports program. We have a very safe, secure, welcoming, family-like atmosphere that you don't necessarily get everywhere else. So those are just some of the benefits of going to Corpus Christi.
Judy and I had this conversation like 3 years ago, right?
We did, Jason.
It's about going to heaven.
It is. It was all about parents are the first and foremost teachers of the faith. But when your kids go off to school, you got to put them in an environment. And you can't do it on your own. It takes a village. It takes a community. And the goal is not just to get your kids through school and off to a great college. It's to get them all the way to heaven. And
I think at this point, too, for most parents, like, if I could find a school where they just at least didn't contradict everything I taught at home, I would be okay with that. Like, they don't even have to reinforce it. Today, it seems like for parents, it's like, I'm going to try and teach my kids, you know, how to behave and how to treat other people and things that we shouldn't believe are okay. And if I could just send them to a school that would just be quiet about everything else, I would be happy. That obviously doesn't seem to exist. And so Catholic education, I think, not only is it just, you're not just being quiet about it, I guess, you're reinforcing the values that we're teaching at home. So it's an even better step.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you guys been involved in Catholic education? You guys all went to Catholic school?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. The only like Protestant school in the bunch.
Well, that's okay. We got you on our team.
Yeah, that's right. So lifelong Catholic school educators, as students, kind of what are some things that you remember about Catholic school going back?
Sister Mary Ann, our principal. Yeah.
She was awesome?
She was pretty awesome.
How big was her ruler?
By the time that I was there, I didn't see any of that. So
it whittled down.
Yeah. She snapped it in half a few times.
All right. I just think being at a school like Central Catholic and Holy Trinity, just the size of it, it's more intimate in terms of with that Catholic education and being able to, you know, sit in a classroom of only 19 or 20 kids and having that, you know, more one-on-one instruction and be able to learn about our faith on a daily basis and then incorporating that into the athletic side of it, you know, being playing sports at, you know, in junior high and high school, that's one thing that I try to carry over into the junior high. And being a high school basketball coach, we do the same thing. You know, we try to make kids understand that, you know, we have priorities. You know, your faith, you know, your family, your school, and then last but not least, sports. So I think that was one thing that I remembered fondly about high school and about junior high is just the intimacy of it and the closeness you can, the relationships and the camaraderie you can form with your teachers and with your classmates around that faith-based education. So,
and it really is a family environment. So I went to St. Pat's in Washington through, you know, kindergarten through eighth grade. And then when I graduated from ISU, that's the same school that I went back to, had my first teaching job. Some of the teachers that were my teachers were now my colleagues. And it was just, you know, people say, oh, I'm a product of Catholic schools, but this is truly who I am. And so Catholic schools can give that to you.
Yeah, I always say that to me, in our experience with our kids, there's far more community involved in Catholic education. You know, I pretty much know all the parents. We obviously know all the teachers and the staff. And I always tell people, like, from my perspective for the kids, they don't all like each other, right? I mean, like, I'm not going to try and, like, oh, all the kids love each other. They don't all like each other. They're not all friends with each other. But it's kind of like when I was growing up and I had my sister, like, I made fun of her relentlessly, but, like, nobody else did, right? And I feel like that's really how a lot of the kids are. Like, they might, you know, not be best friends with every kid out on the playground, but at the end of the day, they all seem like they are part of the same family. And, you know, at least from my perspective, like, we don't have the issues with, like, the bullying and that kind of stuff to the extent that, again, I mean, kids are kids. They don't all like each other. But I think that at the end of the day, they tend to stick up for each other more, you know, kind of like I said, my sister, we weren't friends. I made fun of her, but nobody else did, right? She was still my sister at the end of the day. I defend her. And so I feel like the kids kind of take, you know, more of that approach, where I don't think you get that in, you know, in the public school. I think there's very, you know, divided lines on, you know, way beyond not just being friends. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, that's always kind of seemed to be, from the kids' perspective, something that they all have a shared kind of bond. They associate with being Catholic, and they associate with, you know, being at Corpus Christi, and you know, they might not hang out with each other on the weekends, but they have that, you know, that shared experience. So,
absolutely. I mean, I remember going to Catholic school in Decatur, and
the rough streets.
Oh no, it was good. Our Lady of Lourdes, and a lot of my closest friends, even today, are friends that I formed in school, and then as a parent, knowing the value of that and being in an environment where I could talk about my faith day in, day out, I wanted that kind of an environment for my kids. And so I kind of joke around about the fact that I'm enough of a control freak that I couldn't pick my kids' friends, but I could pick the peer group they pick their friends from. And there's just something about knowing that the kids, the families, we all are on the same basic moral playing field, and knowing that the goals that we have for our children to get our kids to heaven, we're all there to help each other. It's not just, you know, within your own home. It's the whole community. It's your school. It's your church. It's all the way around.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. This is Jason Bramley.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Catholic Radio, changing hearts and minds.
My Protestant church family, we are pro-life. But there's something more that I'm getting from Catholic Radio and the teaching and the discussions, and I have learned so much.
We depend on your support to keep Catholic Spirit Radio on the air 24 hours a day, broadcasting the truth and beauty of the Catholic Church.
Check your inbox. Your copy of Catholic Spirit Radio's newsletter should have arrived via email. It's called Alive in the Spirit and features articles about what's happening at Spirit Radio and with our listeners. It's quarterly, it's free, and it's waiting for you. If it's not in your inbox, then you can easily begin your free subscription to Alive in the Spirit by sending your email address to office@catholicspiritradio.com.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. You just got to let the Holy Spirit lead. We have three great guests with us today. Judy Clark is here, Pat O'Brien, and Miss Adrienne Wilson. Mrs. Adrienne Wilson, the staff, the super team over at Corpus Christi Catholic School, talking about the benefits of Catholic education. So for folks that are listening that might not know, pretty much all the kids come from St. Pat's Amerna and or Holy Trinity, right? That's kind of the
We've got a couple kids from historic St. Patrick's. We actually have a couple of families from Epiphany, St. Patrick's of Wapella.
Mm-hmm.
St. Mary's of Downs.
Oh, wow.
Kind of covers it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
We're expanding our reach.
We are, but it's good.
And we have a great preschool program, right?
We do.
How's the preschool going this year? Is it all filled up and on a wait list like normal?
We are, pretty much. Got 100 preschoolers coming in.
That's a lot of 3 and 4 year olds I wouldn't be able to handle.
100 saints in the making.
Yeah.
They're going to rule the school.
we're probably going to lose a few of them. I don't know. I got one in that group. I can assure you that he's a handful. Oh. Little Rhett.
Well, I was going to say, Riker's in kindergarten this
year. Yeah, I know.
Right?
Who's his teacher going to be? I haven't heard yet.
You'll be getting postcards.
Oh, come on. yeah, Rhett's going to be in 4-year-old preschool.
Are you ready for an 8th grader?
No.
You've got the span of them.
Yeah.
Preschool and 8th grade.
Yeah, and well, and the baby's not there yet, so.
Yeah.
Who was the family that was there for like 23 years?
The Whelans.
Yeah, we would have to have one more to get to that, but we'll be bumping up against it. I don't know. We'll be close.
It's all about the goal.
I did the math. I think it was like 19 years. That's close. So I think that, you know, going back to our conversation about Catholic education, like 23 years, that's a testament to commitment. You know, can you imagine being at this? I would venture to guess there's nobody out at the public schools that's been there for 23 years. As far as parents go, I mean, that's a testament to the size of our families. But two, just a school, like, man, I can't imagine being. At some point, you'd almost want to just switch your kids to a different school just so you didn't, you know, unless you really loved it. Like, I think that just proves the level to which you have to be involved.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's another thing, too, on Catholic education that I think is a lot different is the involvement from the parent standpoint. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys can.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we welcome our families with open arms because this isn't just a school, an institution where you send your kids, you drop them off, we do what we ever, you know, whatever we do throughout the day and send them home. This is truly an extension of your family. And so not only do we, you know, treat the kids like they're ours, but we welcome parents, grandparents, and uncles, and we do what we can to get to know your child, plus your family, your background, because we know that this is such a huge investment. So we do what we can to get to know you guys, so that way we can continue building those strong relationships.
Yeah, our oldest went to public school for 6 months, and I tend to be fairly outgoing. Obviously, I talk to myself every week for an hour on the radio. but it was a shock to me. Well, first of all, we toured the school. Did I ever tell you this? Our touring the school story?
No.
So I won't say the school, and it doesn't really matter. I'm sure I'd have gotten the same response from all of them. But I said, oh, yeah, our daughter's been going to Holy Trinity at the time, Corpus Christi. And, you know, I really, whenever we have an event or whatever, I really like to be the guy that always, you know, brings the beer. So if you guys ever need beer for one of your events, like, just let me know, and I'll be there. And the principal was appalled and was like, we can't have beer at events. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, how are you going to build community and camaraderie and have the parents like invested in each other? And, you know, if you don't ever have like, you know,
events,
block parties and events. And so anyway, when she started going to school there, I remember going, you know, a month or so afterward, you know, that she started, and she had a doctor's appointment, and I went to pick her up, and they're like, oh, okay, we'll go get her. And I'm like, no, I can walk. I know where her classroom's at. I'll walk. No, do not go past that set of doors. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, you can't go down there. And I'm like, you have my kid. Like, what? I'll just go get her. No. We'll go get her. And I was just like, wow, this is a different environment, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to Catholic school where it's like, yep, go, you know, mm-hmm. if you want to come and, you know, read to the kids or be lunchroom volunteers or just hang out for the day or you know, it was a very different, there was not that sense of community. It was very much like, hey, at 8 o'clock, you turn your kid over to us. At 3:30, we'll turn your kid back over. You know, don't really get involved in between the times.
And that's one of the best things, one of the many of the best things about Catholic school is that parents, teachers, staff, we all have that same goal that we talked about earlier, getting your child to heaven. And we know that we can't do it alone. We have to involve our families because what we are teaching at school and what you're teaching at home, we're reinforcing each other. And another great thing about Catholic schools is that, again, you don't have to choose whether you want a strong academic program, but then not that family-like atmosphere. With Corpus Christi, you get all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know my cousins go to Catholic school down by St. Louis, and I think, you know, the Catholic school where they're at, and I think this is a testament to you guys explaining the value of the school and all those types of things, because where they're at, the school doesn't really have to work to get students because the public schools are that bad. And so the alternative is like, well, I'm not going to send my kid to the public school, so the Catholic schools are, you know, they're full and it's easy for the administration because they don't have to, you know, really kind of sell that value proposition or anything because it's just like, well, you're not going to go with the alternative. So, but you know, to your point, like for us here locally, and that's the thing, you know, when I talk to other parents, because it's always, well, you know, the public school is really good. Well, okay, I'll give you that. But like, is that like your primary focus as a parent is just like, you know, making sure your kid knows how to add or, and to your point, I mean, the educational level at Corpus Christi is at least the same, if not better. Mm-hmm. And I just say at least the same because nobody's going to argue with that. I could easily argue that it's better. But again, like, I don't really care at the end of the day if my child gets to be, you know, 17 and has a car accident and passes away, like what difference did it make if, you know, she was in, you know, advanced algebra as opposed to the fact that she knew Jesus and she had a relationship with him and she had these friendships and, you know, was able to experience faith. Like, you know, that's a better. Mm-hmm. And if she doesn't pass away at 17, let's say in that scenario, and she makes it to 97, it's still the same thing. Like, at the end of the day, what difference does it make, you know, the educational level? If that's all you're sending your kids to school for, you might as well homeschool them. I mean, you probably get a better education there for those folks that just have that focus of, well, it's a better education. Mm-hmm. Well, why wouldn't you just homeschool them then? Because it's probably the best education, you know, 100% focus.
And it just depends on what the parent's definition of education is.
Yeah.
Do they look at it just from that academic standpoint, or do they look at it like we do, educating the whole child, not just academically, but physically, social, emotionally, mentally, so.
And to that point, we've had like, or we, the school, all of us involved have had some huge technological advances that we've gone through over the last, you know, what, probably 5 years. I mean, there's iPads all over the place and smart boards and everything else. How's that going? We need like our own IT department to run schools these days.
We kind of do, yeah.
We do kind of do. But, and while technology plays a vital role, there are some schools in the community that are one-to-one. And we've kind of talked about the fact that that's not a goal we have for our school.
You mean technology to like an iPad to a student or whatever?
Because there's so much life skill.
They probably get one-to-one when they get home. They could get all the app time and FaceTime and
absolutely
Snapgram or whatever when they get home.
There are just certain skills that if you just look worldwide, people are lacking. And, you know, we understand the importance of technology and we do what we can to make sure that we have the most up-to-date, you know, systems that, you know, in our school. But we believe that there are really important social skills that you miss out on when all of your learning is done through a laptop.
Yeah.
So we do our best to kind of balance that time between, yes, making sure that our kids are ready for the real world and, you know, the jobs that they're going to have someday, but at the same time, making sure that they don't lose out on those skills that they need to maintain eye contact, to find things in a book, things like that.
Well, and I think, too, like, obviously we all learn differently, too. And we have a lot of authors on the radio that I do interviews with, and I'm sure they could send me their book via, you know, Kindle, ebook, whatever. I can't read a book like that. Like, if I'm going to read a book, I need to hold it in my hand, you know, especially we've had some really great authors on recently. I told Tim Gordon when he was on that I was glad that the last two pages were blank because I just filled them up with questions, you know, and highlighted stuff. I mean, you can't do that on a Kindle. You know, you lose that, you know, ability to take notes and do some research and look stuff up and, mm-hmm. you know, and for kids that maybe aren't, you know, that just don't process it through the electronic form, like, well, then what are they going to do? They're just not going to read or right. not going to learn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a balance there. Mm-hmm. So what else is going on at the school? We have a couple weeks left.
We do.
We're recording this in the middle of July.
It's okay.
We'll see when it airs. We'll have to fit it in. But what I was shocked. I think Riley said, oh, we're going to – she was talking about gymnastics, and their coach said that he'd take them all bowling on a Friday. I was like, well, I think there's three left. Right? I mean
– Absolutely.
Oof.
Teachers come back for in-services starting the
12th.
Mm-hmm. Back to school night is the 12th. First day of school is Feast of the Assumption.
15th, right?
Mm-hmm. Full day full school mass, mm-hmm. which is always the best way to start the school year. We start the school year
out at St. Pat's?
No, it'll be at school. It'll be at Corpus Christi.
God.
So we start the year the way we end the year, with mass.
Yeah. I always, there's a local group here in town that has these yard signs that says we start school in prayer. Or we begin the year in prayer.
Mm-hmm. We begin every day.
I won't call them out. You've seen the yard signs. Yeah, we begin every day in prayer.
We pray maybe throughout the day, and we end the day in prayer.
Yeah, maybe take that to the next level. Mm-hmm. So what's that look like from a theological standpoint? Like, what do the kids have a separate theology class, or it's incorporated kind of all day long? Or?
So we have each teacher has a set religion time, but I've been in the classrooms and these teachers do an amazing job of bringing in our faith in every subject. Even in places where you don't think that you could, they do.
Yeah.
So even though we do have a set time, a set curriculum, really it is just weaved in throughout our entire day.
I think it, to that point, Father Schultz's homily this weekend was about having the first philosophical principle be Christ and our relationship with him. And so if that's your first principle in life, then everything else has to relate back to the first. And so it's hard to, you know, we can't box Jesus into an hour a week and not have it impact how we view the rest of the world, how we view, you know, geometry or biology. I mean, there's some impact there. And if we try to educate our kids in the faith and we try to box him in, you know, that's not the number one philosophy. We're not reflecting back on that relationship constantly.
Mm-hmm. I think being in the classrooms as much as I am throughout the course of the year, the teachers do an excellent job of incorporating that and balancing that throughout the whole day. And then I also try to incorporate that for my coaches and myself as well in the athletic part of it. You know, maybe not all of our coaches have been, you know, Catholic or you know what, but
it's all right. We got a class for that.
We always, but we always try to say, hey, you know, whether you want to start it or a player wants to start it or you want to have a parent come in and start, lead with prayer, end with prayer. And then keep in mind your focus throughout the year and your season should kind of frame around faith.
Yeah.
And your faith. So I think our coaches do an excellent job of doing that throughout their season in the course of the year. And ultimately it shows, you know, on the playing field, in terms of how we represent ourselves and our families and our faith and our school. And I think they do. And it's a testament of the teachers and how they incorporate that throughout the course of the day in their classrooms as well. So,
yeah, you know, I think that brings up an interesting analogy, you know, as a parent. Or we've heard other parents say, like, you know, my kid was involved in team sports and how they grew as an individual and how it made them a better person. And whether that's in Catholic school or public school or just even on a travel team or whatever, that there's that benefit to that community. And I think that's really kind of a microcosm of the Catholic school experience. You know, it's almost like a team sport, you know, kind of going back to what I said about the kids, you know, not being kind of in the same family. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a reflection of that, hey, we're all in this together. And, you know, again, I think most parents, you would ask them, you know, maybe when their kid's 30 years old, hey, what was the most impactful thing that your son or daughter got out of playing team sports, you know? And I guarantee they're not going to know how many games they won and lost. You know, they're going to say, well, the coach was, you know, helped develop my son into a young man, and he helped teach him responsibility and work ethic and all these things that we would hope that they're learning from that coach, because that person has them probably just as much as, you know, mm-hmm. depending on the level of athletics. In our Catholic schools, I mean, really, that's what the determining factor is between, you know, maybe that and public school, is like how we're building young people into hopefully saints, and how much more impactful that is as compared to just thinking about, well, it's, you know, how is it academically? Mm-hmm. So
you're well, right.
Yeah. And one to piggyback on that and on that, from my perspective, one of the goals that I'm trying every year to do, not only personally for our programs, but at the high school level too, as a coach, and seeing our coach, what they do at the high school level, is at the end of the day, have the kids become closer to Christ through what they're doing.
Yeah.
And how are we as coaches and as administrators helping that journey and helping them along through sports?
Yeah.
And if they have done that at the end of the day, like you said, Jason, they're not going to remember the wins and the losses.
Yeah.
It's not about that. And especially going to a Catholic school.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to it from a parent standpoint, you know, as a parent, my job is to raise my kids and develop them into an adult. And in my situation, it develop them into a strong Orthodox Catholic adult. If I give them to a school, regardless of the school, for 35 hours a week, and then they play, you know, 15 hours a week worth of athletics, they're, you know, that's 50 hours a week. They're going to sleep, you know, probably another, I don't know how many hours you sleep in a week, 80 or whatever, you know. It's like, as parents, we have such little time that if we're not, you know, utilizing the communities around us, or if we're not, again, back to that, if we're not even policing what they're exposed to in the communities around us, we have very little impact. There's so many other forces out there that are going to have more impact on our children growing up. And I mean, I would hate to look back and be like, oh, I should have taught my kid, you know, how to be responsible when, you know, when they were hanging out with friends that weren't responsible, or maybe athletic coach that didn't have that as the vision. You know, it was just like, hey, how are we going to win this game? And let's do whatever it takes to win, or, you know, whatever. We have very little time with our kids as it is.
Yeah.
So.
And one thing too, that really, really hit me when I was younger, I was going through something rough, a rough patch, and my mom told me that at the end of the day, you will always have your faith. So if you go through, you know, a friendship that kind of dissolves, you always have your faith. No matter what life throws you, you always have that to rely on, because, you know, God never leaves you. And so that, to me, when I think about what I do on a daily basis, I want these kids to know that it's great that if you, you know, you win these championships and everything, but that will be done eventually. And in the end, you always will have your faith. And it's important to have that, because it's going to get you through life more than looking back on what you won or looking back on the grades that you had. That stuff isn't, you know, people aren't going to remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, you know, a lot of people that, whether it's, you know, seniors when they're playing their last sports game, or an adult when they retire, you know, you see people sometimes where they've developed their whole self-image around, you know, athletics or around their job or whatever it is, and they don't have that faith base. You know, that's emotionally devastating sometimes for people, because they have, you know, that's who they were. They were invested in being, you know, whatever their career was or whatever, and it's hard for them to cope with losing that. And you know, I without faith, I don't understand, you know, why some people get out of bed in the morning. Like, this is a pretty crappy world. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, it, you know, it's like, for the most part, it's, you know, it's okay. Without faith, like, what, you know,
what's the point?
What's the point? Yeah, and so we try to educate our kids on that. Well, we're going to take another break. We have Mrs. Adrienne Wilson in studio with us. I don't know why I always say Miss. Of course, usually when it comes up at home, I always go, Mrs. Wilson! And Judy Clark and Pat O'Brien are with us talking about Corpus Christi Catholic School and Catholic school in general. You are listening to Catholic Spirit Radio on 89.5 Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Check your inbox. Your copy of Catholic Spirit Radio's newsletter should have arrived via email. It's called Alive in the Spirit and features articles about what's happening at Spirit Radio and with our listeners. It's quarterly, it's free, and it's waiting for you. If it's not in your inbox, then you can easily begin your free subscription to Alive in the Spirit by sending your email address to office@catholicspiritradio.com.
Catholic Radio, changing hearts and minds.
My Protestant church family, we are pro-life. But there's something more that I'm getting from Catholic Radio and the teaching and the discussion, and I've learned so much.
We depend on your support to keep Catholic Spirit Radio on the air 24 hours a day, broadcasting the truth and beauty of the Catholic Church.
We are back. Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. If you're just tuning in, you miss a great first couple segments. We have Pat O'Brien, Judy Clark, and Mrs. Adrienne Wilson in the studio with us today talking about Catholic education and Corpus Christi Catholic School here in town over on the corner of Lincoln and Mercer, formerly known as Holy Trinity, formerly known as
St. Clair.
So if you want to get more information, you can check out their website at
www.corpuschristisaints.org.
Yes, lots of S's in there.
Absolutely.
So I did have a question. Oh, and for those folks that are just tuning in, go back and listen to the podcast. If you missed the first couple minutes of our conversation, you can listen to us on iTunes or on Podbean, or you can download our app at the App Store or the Play Store. And the app comes in Spanish, but we are not in Spanish. We will still be in English. Yep. John doesn't have the time, I guess, to voice over the entire thing into Spanish. That would be fun, though. You should try that one week. If you want to find out more information, you can go to the website. Oh, yes, all the S's. I was going to ask, so why did you guys change the name of the school? And then the second part of that is, why did you decide to name it after a town in Texas? Like, I just don't understand.
Well, the school name change was part of our strategic plan that was put in place by the diocese. And over the years, the makeup of our school population has shifted. When the school, in its earlier days, it was primarily associated with Holy Trinity Parish. But with all of the growth on the other end of town and St. Patrick's of Myrna Parish taking off, a lot of our students have come from that parish as well. And it was my understanding that the bishop and the Office of Catholic Schools were really wanting us to come up with a school name that was more inclusive and not necessarily associated with one parish.
Gotcha.
A lot of times Catholic schools, there's a parish right next to them.
Right.
And that did not happen in our situation. So we put out an all-call for different Catholic school names, potential names. We had the kids come up with some potential names. But, and again, I could be wrong, but to my recollection, for many people that may not know, it came from Father Greg Ketchum.
Gotcha.
He kind of had a feeling that this was the name that we were supposed to go with. And with your Latin, Corpus Christi means the body of Christ, and we start our day off.
So it has nothing to do with Texas.
It has nothing to do with Texas.
I just literally had somebody ask me that again the other day, and I'm like, who are you? Like, that's your depth of culture, is that there's a town called Corpus Christi?
No. And I think that's one of our goals, is to instill in the kids, even from the very beginning of the day when we do our morning assembly, and Mrs. Wilson and Mr. O'Brien kind of lead the kids in prayer and talk about the different activities and sports and things that are happening throughout the day. We always end with,
I am.
We are. The body of Christ. Go Saints.
Nice. So are you familiar with why there's not a parish there?
Yes.
I don't remember, like, I had done some reading about the fact that, was it early 80s, right, is when that land was purchased by the diocese, and it encompassed basically everything from there to what's now Veterans Parkway. Is that right?
It might have been actually before the early 80s, because I think that building was put in place in 63.
Gotcha.
And then we've added on since.
Mm-hmm. And the plan was originally to have a parish there.
Yeah, I believe it was going to be St. Clair.
Yeah. And then, so we got the school built and everything, and then, I don't know, they decided they didn't need a parish there. I think as the town expanded eastward towards St. Pat's and Myrna, where it was originally, and then I think part of, you know, the hurricane. We don't have hurricanes. No. The tornado, you know, and then moving it closer, I think, was kind of what sealed the deal. But, yeah, originally, I guess the plan was to have a parish there. So that brings up an interesting point from your guys' perspective, kind of as administrators and working with, you know, multiple parishes. What are some of the extra challenges that you have as compared to, like, hey, we got the church right next door?
The fact of not having a physical church. So when we hold Mass, we have to hold it in our chapel.
Yeah.
And sometimes, depending on the amount of people that come in, kind of determines on
how many chairs we need.
Yeah, how many chairs and how cozy it's going to get in there that day. That would be one of them.
But I think we do a good job with, I mean, I think, you know, we make the most of it.
Yeah.
And, we work with what we have. And we have a beautiful chapel area. And, you know, sometimes we host it in the gym.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, just as nice. Obviously, it's not, it's bigger and it's not a church, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's our church.
Mm-hmm. And it's great with the different parishes. The kids get to celebrate Mass with the different pastors. So they get to know not just one, but all four of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here there's specific ones they prefer to go to confession to. There might be a few of them that are easy, maybe easier than others. I don't know. I've never gotten the explanation, but I know that, oh, I don't know, Father so-and-so was there today, and I had confession. I really like it better when, you know, the other one's there. And I don't even know which ones. I couldn't tell you. That's just, I hear that, like, oh, yeah. Well, but that's good experience for life. Like, you're not going to.
Yeah. I think it's a comfort level, too. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, these kids are just, they're not, that's coming out of their shell.
Yeah.
And sitting there having a one-on-one conversation with somebody, really, frankly, they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and, but it's good, though. It's, mm-hmm. it teaches them a little bit about, you know, kind of taking the initiative and having some confidence, and especially talking about things like that.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and even your own family, Jason, I'm going to suspect that different children in your own family prefer or feel more comfortable with different priests when it comes time for reconciliation or things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's who I hear it from, is people in my family. Which I guess I'm not giving away, because now I have two that are old enough to go to confession.
Absolutely.
So you don't know which one's which. Of course, one of them is far more opinionated than the other. So
I can't imagine which one you're talking about.
You could probably guess, but I mean, I think, you know, that's a good life lesson. Like, we're not going to get to go to confession with the same priest every time. And of course, I would prefer if we went back to the box with just the sliding door. You know, it'd be nice. We had him on a couple times, and I think he did fantastic things for the school. Father Pika was fantastic. You know, the kids loved him. He was super involved all the time. So obviously he's moving on. So we have to tap one of these other priests to come show up like every day and play dodgeball and foursquare. And
I think Father Bullock will do a great job with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I really have liked his homilies and stuff so far. Talk about the research.
Absolutely. Well, that's another nice thing, is that not only do the kids get to see the priests, the different priests at Mass on Wednesday, but a couple of years ago we implemented that basically the parochial vicars from each parish come in and spend time on Thursday and Friday. So the kid, and they're in all of the classrooms as much as they can be, just to pop in. But it's a good opportunity for, I think, the kids to see the priests
just in a different...
Absolutely. I think it's a generational thing. For me, when I think back on my Catholic education, our pastors were very much on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Which I think definitely instilled a level of respect. And I think that level of respect is still there with our students, but they see a much more human side. Like, they are just people that have an astounding calling from God to do amazing things. And I could be that person too, potentially.
Well, actually, you're a female, so you couldn't. But you could be a sister.
I could be a sister. Or a mother.
I got a couple that I'm working on for being sisters.
Because you just, yeah, never mind.
Get a lot of eye rolls. But, okay, so two thoughts. Going back to the geographic proximity, I think there's actually a benefit to not having the church as close to your point on, you know, I think a lot of times when we're, you know, geographically proximate to something, we ignore it. Or, you know, it's not as important maybe. Or, you know, it's kind of like that. It's just there. So we take it for granted. Yeah, thanks. And whereas, you know, with the priest not being there and really having to make that commitment to say, hey, I'm going to go to the school on Thursday. I'm going to be there all day and I'm going to be present with the kids and I'm going to be involved. I think that probably actually helps to some extent, you know, whereas if you're just right next door, you know, maybe you show up or the kids see you every once in a while or whatever. But, you know, I really think that probably is a benefit long term, you know, potentially by having all the different priests and not having them there. They have to really make that commitment to come and be present, you know, with the students. So I think that's probably a benefit.
Absolutely.
And then I had another thought. No, it escaped me. I don't know. So if folks aren't currently involved in the school or in Catholic education, but maybe they've been thinking about it, where are some of the places maybe they should start, you know, doing research or having, maybe just having that conversation in their own family that you would think would be, like, what are the things they should consider first, I guess?
Are you thinking within our community?
Yeah, or just, yeah.
You know, I just feel like it definitely comes down to what are your long-term goals with your kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And priorities.
You have been given a blessing beyond compare, a gift from God to raise these children. And your goal is to get them back to their maker and get them to spend their time. You know, that's the ultimate goal, is to heaven. And as personally, as an individual, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it on my own. I needed as much help as I could get. If that is at the foremost importance to you, the number one principle, then yes, there is a financial aspect to it, but I don't think you can put a price tag on eternity. And we would love the opportunity to continue that conversation so much. I think it's just a matter of getting in the schools and seeing. And we've said before, you can't really go wrong with education in this community. It's a very strong, sound educational base in this town. And if you want Catholic education, can't go wrong with Catholic education in this community. There are St. Mary's, Epiphany, Corpus Christi, Central Catholic. We had a tagline several years ago. It was four schools, one family. I tell folks, if you're interested in Catholic education, get into the schools. See what they have to offer. Each school has so many strengths, but they each have their own personality. And you just find the one that feels like home.
Yeah. Yeah, and we actually, John, now cover how many other Catholic schools? St. Mary's in Pontiac, Lincoln, which is
Carroll
Catholic. Carroll. Yep, and we might even get a little bit out into the Washington area, right? Do we kind of reach that far? Maybe. Yeah. St. Patrick's. So lots of great Catholic schools. I think that, you know, for a lot of folks, maybe who haven't had kids yet or who have really little kids, you know, it's a daunting task to, you don't have to think about public school, right? Like, your kid turns 5 or whatever, I don't know, and you're just like, okay, well, you know, sign up is, you know, the first week of August, and we show up at the public school, and, you know, there's whatever in the gym, and you know, our secular society has done a great job at making that the default position for children and for parents to just say, oh, just, you know, you really have to put prayerful consideration and thought and conversation in your family into making the decision to, I guess, kind of go the more difficult route. Not that, you know, you have to you know, you have to come tour the school. You have to have a conversation with the administration. You have to register. You know, there's not going to be, you know, subdivision-wide flyers that go out that say, you know, this is when you register your kid because this is where you live. And so, it takes a little bit more, you know, of that conversation with, you know, your significant other, your prayerful conversation with Christ as to making those decisions. And so, again, for folks that, you know, have kind of had those conversations, what's the best way for them to come to Corpus Christi? Should they email somebody to make an appointment, or are there during the school year? Obviously, somebody's always there. I mean, you know, they could come in and talk to somebody.
There's a variety of ways that you can get in contact. You can call the school. You can talk to either of our administrative assistants, who are wonderful. You could call, directly to one of us. You could send us an email. Some parents have just shown up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we would welcome anyone to come in to talk to. We would love to give you a tour just to get you to know a little bit more about our school. And then from there, you know, depending on what you would like to do, we've given, you know, several tours to families. We have had some families that come in and say, yep, this is exactly it. This feels right. So we've set them up with registration right then and there. We have a really good program, like a parent mentoring program, for a lot of our new families. If they have questions, they can reach out to other families if they don't necessarily want to ask, you know, the principal for something. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get information and become involved.
Awesome. The other thing, as we were talking, that kind of struck my mind was that it's not even just the school community either. You know, there's a lot of other, you know, extended community events that, you know, that happen at the school, like the fish fries that the Knights of Columbus do from St. Pat's, or, you know, you guys are involved in the St. Patrick's of Myrna golf outing, or St. Vincent de Paul, or, you know, there's all these, you know, it's not just the kids and the parents at the school either. There's this huge Catholic community that you become exposed to by going. And I'm sure the other Catholic schools in town probably have their, you know, other extended community things. But, you know, it's really, it gets you involved in that larger Catholic community too. I mean, I think it's probably as beneficial for the kids as it is the parents, mm-hmm. You know, for most of us. Again, when for the 6 months that Riley went to public school, I didn't meet a single parent. There was no ability to meet parents. Really. I mean, there was no events, there was no fish fries, there was, you know, whatever it was. We didn't go to the same church, obviously. There was no benefit. You know, I would have had to like stood outside of school when, you know, I don't know, because then they got bussed home. So, I mean, I couldn't even, you know, meet parents that way. It's such a community. I mean, to me, that's really the biggest benefit. And it is extended really to the whole, you know, Catholic community at large. I've had dads like that have, cause I help with the dads club or whatever. I've had dads that have come to me like, hey, you know, Johnny and, you know, Bobby weren't, you know, getting along at school or whatever. Like, you know, do you think I should go talk to his dad? Like, you know, which I don't think you get that at public school. You get like, oh, Johnny and Bobby didn't get along, so I called the principal, and, you know, we had like a screaming match at the school. You know, I mean, it's just like there's not that community avenue to deal with, you know, either problems or, you know, like birthday parties or, you know, I mean, the kids are just so entwined in each other. And then because of that, the parents are. And Judy, to your point earlier on the kids and their friends, like, again, like I know probably 85% of the parents at the school. I'm probably friends with, you know, closer friends with, you know, half of them. I mean, it's, you know, it's you don't have those like, oh, my kid's going to hang out at so-and-so's house and I've never met their parents. Mm-hmm. Or I don't, you know, maybe I met them once, but I don't. And so maybe I, you know, I'm not sure about having them there. Like, I don't, you know, I mean, I don't feel like you get that. It just extends. I think that's the biggest thing to me. It extends to every aspect of your life and your kid's life, and public school just doesn't do that because it's not built to do that. You know, it's right. Very compartmentalized, I think. It's that, hey, you stand outside the door and we'll go get your kid and we'll bring him back to you.
Yeah, Catholics, I mean, there's a much bigger mission behind what we do. And, you know, we are called to be Christ's church. And so you're not going to just find that in our school. It is truly an extension of our community because that's what he calls us to do.
All right, so I got one hard question for you before you leave. So there's been a lot of news lately on certain Catholic schools to our east that aren't upholding their Catholic identity or their Catholic values. So at Corpus Christi, like, how do you guys, you know, go about making sure that the church or that the school represents that to the kids, you know, that parents are able to have that confidence in the school when their kids go there, you know, as opposed to we have some of these schools that are just doing their thing and doing whatever they want. And I would be very upset as a dad if I spent money and sent my kid to a Catholic school and then they weren't being reinforced that. So how does that look at Corpus Christi?
I mean, we start off every day together. I mean, we talk about our mission, growing together as the body of Christ, striving to grow in our faith, knowledge, and stewardship. Those are the three things that we really base everything that we do around. And so at Corpus, you are going to, as soon as you step in, you're going to know and feel what we stand for and what we strive to be. And our kids are reminded of it daily. And they go home and they talk to their parents about it because a lot of what we do extends beyond the school as well.
Awesome.
And I think a lot of it is, too, making sure people know that their kids are in a great place, because we do that every day.
Yeah.
And whether it's academics, whether it's our faith, whether it's athletics, whatever it is, we reinforce that on a daily basis. And if we also hold everybody accountable to a higher hold people to higher these kids to higher standards, because that's who we truly want them to be.
Yeah.
And I think just reminding parents, getting back to your point, how do you want parents to know about Corpus Christi? Well, that's one of the things that we want to make sure parents know when they come and visit us and they take a tour, that's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure your kids, we're going to instill these values in your kids on a daily basis. We're going to hold them accountable, good and bad, and we're going to make sure that it's consistently throughout the day, it's about their faith.
Awesome. Mrs. Clark? Any final thoughts?
Oh, I don't want to be the final thought. The one thing that popped into my mind with regards to that most recent question is, while we are not tied to a specific church, we are blessed to have Father Sternman, Father Schultz, Father Bolick, Father Horton. They are our resources, and they are our faith directors, and they ensure that we are on the path that we are following God's plan for our students, for our staff, for our families.
Awesome. So, Corpus Christi Catholic School Saints.org, is that right?
Yes.
Whew. We couldn't come up with anything. All the short websites were taken.
Corpus Christi Saints.
Oh, Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi Saints.
Got it. .org. Yeah. Corpus Christi Saints.org.
Google us.
Yeah. Or find it. You guys are on Facebook.
Yep.
They can email the school.
Mm-hmm. Or which call.
Is, or yeah. Call.
309-662-3712.
We would love to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank absolutely. You, Mr. Bramley.
Good luck in a couple weeks when all those kids show back up.
Oh, yes.
Well, we'll have some Bramley kids in the building along with a whole lot of
We're counting the days at my house. We're like, yep, we got this many to go. It's time for a break. Oh, well. All right. Well, you've been listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on 89.5. Check us out at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
Can I ask you a question? Are you encountering adversity in your life? Are you carrying a heavy cross? Is your cross a serious illness? A broken relationship? The loss of a loved one? Financial, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual? Yes, crosses come in many forms, and crosses are difficult. They can be very heavy. They can be overwhelming. Is your cross crushing you? Do you feel at times like you cannot even breathe? Well, I know a little bit about the cross, and I want to assure you that our Lord Jesus is with you, and he knows everything about your cross. As a matter of fact, he went before you. When he hung and bled and died on the cross for you, well, the world is being redeemed through the cross. As difficult and painful as our crosses may be, it is a great privilege to be given the gift of the cross in our lives. Listen, there is one thing you will not have in heaven. And that if it's possible to have nostalgia in heaven, we will have nostalgia for this. And that is the redemptive and purifying crosses we were blessed with during our lives. Yes, the cross is literally joined to God. Jesus, God and man, allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. And if we want to be one with Jesus here on earth, we need to allow him to pull us up on the cross with him. Because in a real sense, that is where he is at, and that is where we will find him. We can only really see the world for what it is through the view from up on the cross. It is there that we learn to love everything and everyone from the cross, because God is love and he is one with the cross. Yes, Jesus died once, rose, and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, but he is mystically still on the cross, redeeming the world through his mystical body, the church, and that is you and that is me. And don't forget that the cross leads to the resurrection. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
George Bernard Shaw once wrote that the battle of the sexes will never be won because there's too much fraternizing with the enemy. Have you noticed the trend to remove and renounce any distinctions between men and women in certain social and professional roles? So we have generic firefighters, we have actors when we once had actresses, flight attendants when we used to have stewardesses. I think standard English is already inclusive. In fact, calling females who act for a living actresses is more elegant and distinctive. It doesn't put them down, it sets them apart. But in today's new normal, you're not supposed to bring up the obvious natural and biological fact that men and women are different. Equal in dignity and worth? Yes, but not interchangeable. Whatever happened to Vive la Différence? I have no idea. In the meantime, let's be saints. What else is there?